There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
You are listening to the Mavs Fanatic Podcast.
We'll all be waiting when it comes to my screen. So what you get from me, even if you had that cute money. Three girls and you buried Carvalho, but you buried Mavs Fanatic, our team cinematic.
Welcome to the Mavs Fanatic Podcast. We're recording again on a Wednesday night. We're doing a back-to-back podcast today. Taman and I recorded one earlier that just got sent out, so check out that podcast. But I'm Nick Engsted, writer of MavsFanatic.com, and I am joined in studio right now, exclusive interview, Isaac Harris from The Smoking Cuban. Isaac, how's it going?
Exclusive. Let's go.
Let's go.
Man, it's good. It's good to be here. Y'all have a super nice studio.
Yes, shout out to Dallas Baptist University. Got a good setup here. They let us use this studio, and the Mavericks. Let's talk about the Mavericks. The Mavericks are, right now they're playing the Pistons as we speak, so we can't talk about that game. So the Mavericks are either 23-33 or they're 22-34 right now, as you're probably listening to this, because the game will be done by the time this gets out. They're going to be about three or four games back from the eighth seed in the playoffs. Is this where you thought the Mavericks would be?
Absolutely not.
At this point in the season.
No. I was more positive. And that's kind of how I roll.
I'm not kind of an optimist.
I'm not a Tim McMahon. And
there are not many Tim McMahons.
Yeah, not at all. And I don't know. I like to view things in life in a positive way. And we got Bogut for basically nothing.
Yeah.
And I was all on Team Barnes. I was on Team Barnes before Parsons. I was like, hey, don't pay Parsons, pay Barnes.
Yeah.
Only because I grew up a diehard Carolina fan, loved Barnes coming out of Iowa.
You can tell even just by the way you talk. A diehard Carolina fan.
Diehard Carolina fan.
That's awesome.
Let's cut our backer. And I was like super pumped, but I thought the combination with Bogut and Barnes, I thought it was just a great plan B. I mean,
yeah.
Our plan Bs in the past have kind of sucked. But, you know, because we always
miss, like Monte and.
Yeah, I mean, we always miss the big fish. And so we get Bogut. I thought it was going to work out good. And just, I don't know, I liked our combination of things. I had really high hopes for Simba, Justin Anderson.
Yeah,
we all did. And, man, great guy. I mean, you know, I mean, we see him all the time. He's an awesome, awesome young man. But, just hadn't worked out as well, and obviously injuries is the biggest thing to put a blame on.
But recently they've kind of been on the upturn, though. The team's been really exciting, and that beginning of the season, oh my gosh, that was just depressing. Like, it was depressing. You're there more than I am, but going into that locker room after every game, going to the locker room or going to practices, like seeing these guys, I mean, it was sad at the beginning of the season. What was the whole mindset of the team, or how did you see the team, and how's the mood changed?
Yeah, it's you just see it in their faces and just the vibe, more than the players.
The volume of Wes Matthews' post-game comments depends on whether the team won or not.
Like, it, I mean,
so quiet.
It determines if you want to go to his locker or not. You're okay, they lost. Well, he's going to be pissed. You know, it's like, crap.
We're both walking out before we even go to the...
Yeah, Wes is coming. All right, let's go to Jack in the Box. You know, it's... I think the biggest surprise for me was the mood in everyone. You know, when a member of the organization, a PR person for him, you know, he stepped into the locker room a few nights ago, whenever we blew out somebody, I forget who it was off the top of my head. We blew somebody out. Orlando.
Magic, yeah.
Yeah, we blew out.
We were talking about that game earlier.
We blew out Orlando, and he stepped in. He said, man, winning's fun. We used to do this all the time.
Oh, yeah. I think that was Scott Tomlin.
Yeah, it was. It was Scooter. And, you know, it is that feel, just everybody's happy. And, you know, even if, you know, we lost against Boston, like, they were still pissed off, but it was still enjoyment.
That game actually meant something. Like, that's what Cuban said yesterday on Ben and Skin, was that, like, these games actually are mattering now. Instead of going into a game where you're 2-13, it's like, does this game even... I mean, if we win this game, we're going to be 3-13. That's not better.
You know? Yeah, and you could feel it in the arena. Like, that's when I asked Carlisle It was after the Orlando game.
Yeah.
And I asked him in a post-game press conference. I said, you know, what? How do you feed off? Like, this is three straight games that you could just feel the energy compared to the first of the year.
Yeah.
And the team building off that. And it's such a fun atmosphere. And it sprinkles from the fans all the way down to the locker room. And it is. It feels like a completely different team.
And it's kind of, it started before Yogi even. Like
the, yeah.
I think if you look back at that Lakers game where they blew out the Lakers, I mean, that was a really good game. They won by 50 points. That was a real morale booster. When you just like mess up a team, you like send a team into a spiral. That's really good for a fan base and for a team to like, you know, beat a team like that. Especially when we tweeted kind of sarcastically, kind of on purpose, like hashtag make AAC MFFL again, because there's so many Lakers fans in there, but to beat a team when there's all their fans in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really good. And then ever since then, I mentioned these stats in the last podcast, but since that game on January 22nd, the Mavericks are third in offensive rating, fourth in defensive rating, and third in net rating in the NBA.
Mm. Wow.
They've just been super efficient. And for the team to be really good since then, I think they're 8-4 since that game. I mean, that's a great record.
Yeah. And
we'll take that.
And it's bigger than Yogi. I mean, you said that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it feels like Yogi mania.
He's kicked. You know. He kind of like boosted that. Like he helped. You know.
Yeah. And
bring that in, but
I think it has. Like, I love Yogi. And we all love Yogi to death. But I think it's more kind of leaning on Seth, kind of just growing as a player. And you know, we had him coming off the bench, and even starting off at the beginning of the year, we're all talking, asking Carlo, asking Seth, and he's like, oh. Point guard, shooting guard, whatever, you know, I'll play whatever. I'm comfortable with both.
Right.
Well, now it's shooting guard. Like, he said, like, when we were talking about Yogi coming in and filling in whenever there were injuries, he said, hey, it's great to have somebody just to handle the ball so I don't have to handle it. And it's just like, it's comments like that where you can see that, like, okay.
If he sees it as a burden, that's probably not something he's going
to. We know that he is not point guard now, and he is strictly two guard, whether that's a starting two guard going forward or whether that's like a Lou Williams type coming off the bench, you know, going forward, whatever it is.
Yeah. So this is your first season covering the Mavericks. This is your first season with Smoking Cuban?
Yes. Yeah, so, well, no, I've been an editor for the Smoking Cuban for 2 years now.
Okay.
First year in the locker room at games, credentialed.
Yeah. So same with me. So we've kind of, I mean, ever since Media Day, I think we met at Media Day.
I think we did.
Or at least one of the first practices.
Media Day is so hectic.
There's just so many people. And I definitely went in several places that I was not allowed to go in. You just like walk through a curtain and you're like, oh, there's nobody here. That's cool. And then you're like, oh, there's a reason.
Yep, there's a reason why all the players are over there.
One of the first practices we met, but this is your first season covering. This is my first season covering, so we're in an interesting spot. This is a weird season for it to be our first.
Absolutely.
Covering the Mavericks.
Super weird.
How has it been different than you expected? Because I'm sure you grew up like, oh, I just want to be around a team. I just want to be in a locker room.
Yeah.
That's what I was.
It's crazy because I grew up in a small town in Campbellsville, Kentucky, and we have zero pro teams in Kentucky. So to go to an NBA game, we have to drive 6 hours to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So I grew up
In Cincinnati. So it's either like 2 hours to Indianapolis or 5 hours to Cleveland.
Yeah. So going to Pacers games, went to some Memphis games, and, you know, just all of that. And you just have this kind of, you know, mindset of like, oh, my gosh, NBA player. And now that, I mean, I feel like I see, you know, Harrison Barnes more than my wife sometimes. You know, like, I mean, we see him every day at practice.
Or like Salah. I feel like I see Salah all the time because he's just in the locker room. He's one of the first ones in the locker room.
Yeah, he's always in there. And Nico, like, I want to like talk to Nico, but I don't speak Spanish. And it's like, what up, Nico? And he's always like, hey.
And that's it. That's as far as it goes.
But what surprised me, I don't know. It's just you kind of get a different mindset of it. You know, as a fan, as a Twitter fan, as a TV fan, you know, it's a lot easier to go into, I don't like that player, form, you know, opinions on, okay, he looks like a jerk. Or
even stuff saying, like, he's trash. Like, I see people all the time, like, Wes Matthews is trash. You're like, what? This guy's like an amazing basketball player, and he would blow anybody out of the gym.
Yeah, and it's crazy because now we see, you know, now we're friends. We're not, you know, not friends, whatever. But now that we're in the locker room,
we're familiar with them.
Yeah,
you know,
like, and like some of the players, like know our names and just greeting and hitting. And
I'm not sure they know my name.
Well, you're getting it. Yeah, it'll be fine. But no, I did a one-on-one with Harrison Barnes, and you know, we talked about his Christian faith and just everything with that, and it was cool. Just it was just a bonding thing, and it's stuff like that. And but it goes beyond the Mavs too, because you know, we talked to, you know, at least I try to go to some shoot arounds, some away team locker rooms.
Yeah.
And it's funny because my example I use with that is like DeMarcus Cousins. You know, I'm not a Kentucky fan at all, Kentucky basketball fan. So like, I didn't like Cousins at Kentucky. I didn't like when he came in the league. I'm like, man, like if he just like all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then I sat down with him on the bench at shoot around. It's just me and Boogie. And I mean, and he's the coolest dude ever.
Yeah.
And, you know, we shake hands. I tell him I'm from Kentucky, and we talk about that. And he just lights up, and we talk about Monk and De'Aaron Fox. And,
yeah.
And, you know, it was just – and I walked out of there, I'm like –
Was it weird seeing Boogie happy about something?
Super weird. He starts smiling. You know, I walked out, I'm like, crap, I'm about to get chewed.
Yeah, right.
And
because you've seen those videos of like the Sacktown royalty guys or the Sacktown B guys where he like yells at them and throws them out.
And it's funny because I asked their PR guy, I said, hey, you know, care if I talk to Boogie for a second? He's like, oh yeah, it's fine, just go and ask him. He said, just don't talk to him about the New York thing. And that was when like the New York, like his thing with like, you know, Matt Barnes
and all that
and
stuff.
I'm like, like I would.
Yeah,
know?
Right. Like, do I look like a guy that has the balls to bring that up?
Right? I don't look at me. Do I? But anyway, it was just an example. I walked away and it's like, you know, it's just another life lesson. And it's really kind of, you know, this is not a, my career field is different than this of what I want to do later on in life. And so I'm trying to take bits and pieces of it and how I can grow as a person. And I walk out of there saying, you know, it's just another cliche thing we're taught as a kid, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. And, and I walked out, I'm like, okay, Boogie, you got another fan. You got a new fan. And so that's been a long answer, but what has been the biggest surprise? Just seeing the personal side of the athletes and seeing, you know, more than a basketball court. And
was anybody different than you expected? Like going
away
in,
team or Mavericks?
Either, I guess. Like, I mean, we're on the Mavericks more, so probably a Mavericks
player. I'll say Michael Beasley is exactly the person you would imagine he would be.
In what way?
I'll just leave that at that. Let's see.
Michael Beasley.
Mavericks-wise, I mean, I always heard Dirk was an awesome person.
Yeah.
From people that, like, knew him, whatever. But, man, this year, whenever I spoke in an elementary, I guess a couple months ago for career day, and to talk about Maverick supporting and stuff.
Yeah.
And all the kids, it's always like, who's your favorite player? Blah, 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 blah. And you don't want to be cliche about it, but Dirk. I mean, like,
I think fans even get into that, too. I, like, ran around to the microphone the other day. I was like, who's your favorite Maverick? And people were just like, I guess Dirk.
Just say it.
You're
it's
like,
okay. Just say
you're like, just say it. It's fine. Like, he's the best player in franchise history. He's a top 10 player all time.
He is in a top 10, like, guy of all time for NBA. I mean, he is always joking around. He is always laughing. He's always a joy. He's been doing this 19 years. And just the other night, we waited. It was like 11:30, waiting to talk to Harrison Barnes. And we're like, and they just came off the buzzer-beating shot against Portland, or close to.
Yeah.
Just a heartbreaking loss. And you know, we talk to Harrison. We go to tell him bye, and Dirk is still there talking to German media and doing an interview
for them.
And I'm like, man, it's near midnight. It's coming off a back-to-back. You just played 30 minutes, heartbreaking loss. You know he just wants to go home, but he's still doing that. And it's just a testament to who Dirk is.
Yeah.
And he's just amazing dude all around. And so, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's surprising.
Yeah, it's just like it just affirmed what you thought before.
Yeah, it just affirmed it. Yeah,
I mean, seeing Dirk in sort of places where people wouldn't normally see him and, like, walking, even not standing in the locker room talking to the media, because people will see those videos, you know, they'll see him in those interactions. But seeing the interactions he has from point A to point B, like from walking to the court to the locker room, or from, you know, or like in practice before we're allowed to take video, you know, stuff like that. Like,
oh yeah,
he's just loves it. You know, like, you can just tell he loves the guys. That hug when he hugged Yogi after that shot in that one game, like, that was real. Like, he really loves guys like that, and he loves young guys, and he loves the NBA. He just loves, you know, players, and I think he loves the process of it too.
Yeah,
and I think that's why he'll be around a little bit longer.
Oh yeah, and I mean, there's no signs of. You see him, you know, this past week, and I can't help to just laugh at the stupid idiots out there that says he's too old, he should retire.
Yeah.
Like, bro, do you see?
He's a starting center now.
Do you see, I mean, do you see the impact he has on the game, whether it's posting him up and opening up the, you know, the outside, and, you know, just the attention that he gets. We're not even talking about his efficiency and shooting.
Yeah,
it's just he can play, and we're not even at the stage to, you know, you could possibly say come off the bench and, you know,
yeah,
be a sixth man like Zach Randolph in Memphis. And
part of that's probably because they don't have a good replacement for him. You know,
and I really don't think they're going to want it. And it's crazy because, not to like bring up a future segment or anything, but like, you know, the Drummond news came out today on ESPN that they'd, you know, maybe are listening to offers for Drummond or Reggie Jackson in Detroit. And you know, some of our staff shot some, you know, text messages back and forth. And I was like, you know, I think if we obviously had the chance to just take Drummond, it would be.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
you're like Drummond for a second. Like, yes.
But I really don't think Dallas is going to seek out a big name center this deadline, buyout deadline, or this coming year, because we saw early, I got crucified by Rick early in the year, which Carlisle's just a weird cat
for
anyway.
The Thanksgiving question?
Well, I have.
Okay, tell this story and then tell the Thanksgiving one later.
So I asked Rick in the nicest way possible. We were at practice, and I was trying to think in the nicest way. I said, hey, Dirk's coming off an injury. Is there any scenario in which you would bring him off the bench to ease him back like Memphis doing with Zach Randolph? He literally looks at me. I'm acting it out right now in the studio.
This is great radio.
He literally looks at me.
In the only face that Carlisle can make.
The only face, because he does not smile. And he just stares at me and said, are you suggesting us benching a 19-year starter and Hall of Famer? And just looks at me. And I'm like...
It's funny that was the stat he brought up first, that he had started all that time. Like,
let me pee in my pants real quick. I'm sorry. Like, what am I supposed to say? It's not like I said, hey, Dirk's old. Are you going to bench him? Like, no, I didn't say that. I'm not. But so anyway, I don't think they view him as a starter. And I think it's beyond his play. It's in, I guess, rightfully so, whatever you want to say.
It's the intangible stuff, too, I think.
Yeah. And hey, he's going to start. And I think if he plays next year, he's going to start.
He's going to start then.
So, yeah. What was the other story?
The Thanksgiving story.
Oh, real quick, yeah. I tried to, you know.
Just another Carlisle story.
First year people, you know, we're building our relationship with Rick, obviously. And I guess.
And trying to figure out, like, nobody tells you how to ask questions.
No.
You know, like, no one tells you. They give you your little badge, and they don't even give you a lanyard with it. They just give you the badge.
Here's the badge, and you better keep up with it.
Yeah, and you got to figure out where stuff is. Like, that was one of the biggest things for me, is, like, actually just finding where the practice court was.
How do I get to the press box?
Yeah.
Am I just walking in the tunnels?
I'm walking upstairs. Oh, this stair is locked now.
Yeah. I watched the whole game in media dining because I can't find the elevator. Rick, if he does build relationships at this point in life, we don't even know if he does build new relationships.
He does, but it's like with musicians.
Yeah, piano players.
Yeah.
But it was when the Clippers were in town, because I remember LA media was there, and he obviously took all these basketball questions. And at the very end, I was thinking, okay, you know what? You know a way that maybe I could get Rick on my good side, or I might be known to him? I was like, I'll ask him just a personal question, a non-basketball question that he might appreciate, that it's not
just a little
about.
Break from everyday
exactly.
life.
Exactly. The last question, I said, hey, I know you're flying out tonight for a game, and Thanksgiving was either the next day or 2 days later.
Yeah.
I said, do you have any personal plans for Thanksgiving? He looks at me and says,
simple question. You're very polite. It was like.
Simple question. He looks at me and said, who is this guy? Thanksgiving? What? I'm just worried about winning a basketball game, and that's it. And everybody's just dying laughing while I'm just crawling back
you're like,
into my
hole.
Let me
go change my pants again.
Yeah, and Earl Sneed comes over afterwards, puts his hand on my shoulder and says, well, you've officially made it. Rick's called you out, and I haven't talked to Rick since. No.
That's not true. In the Orlando game you did.
That's true. I'll ask random questions, but Rick is a different cat.
Yeah. So funny. He's kind of like Pop in that way, where he'll call out like new guys. Like Michael Lark of Mavs Fanatic, he was the guy that sort of brought me in and was, you know, showing me around and stuff. He knows everybody. Oh my gosh. Mm. Even like people that work at the arena, he knows everybody. But he was like, don't ask any questions to Rick Carlisle until you've been there a while. Like, don't ask Rick Carlisle. Like, your first year, probably don't ask Rick Carlisle a question. And of course, I have at practices and stuff like that, and yeah. certain games and stuff. But yeah, just because
I can take his time, I'll ask a question here.
What was the last game? The last game I went to, I think it was the Orlando game, where that guy goes, "So now we're in January, blah blah blah." Oh, and Rick looks back at him and he goes, "You do know it's February, right?"
It's February 12th.
And then he's like, "We're into February."
Hey, to give Rick credit, we had a rare moment. He said, "I'm so sorry for embarrassing you." I'm like,
the whole room just erupts in laughter. The whole room's just cracking up. The guy is kind of embarrassed, kind of just like, "Oh yeah, I did mess that up."
Yeah.
Who I can't remember who it was. Some guy from SB Nation, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember who it
was. There are so many of those guys.
They're like a clan.
There's like six of them, I think.
Clash of Clans. They have like their own like group, and they just travel together.
And I think a lot of people just came up through SB Nation, like the Mavs Moneyball, and so I think that some of them like worked for WFAA and stuff, and yeah. you know, the Ringer and stuff like that. But they all just still like band together.
Yeah, they have their crew. They're nice guys.
But anyway, yeah, Rick did apologize to him. That was really funny.
Yeah.
Rick apologized. He's like, "You know what? I'm sorry about that. That was mean." Well, I was like, just gasping.
You apologized.
Okay, so you say that the Mavericks are probably not going to make a trade for a center or like a big piece or a big fish. There was a couple trades this week that I do want to talk to you about. The Mason Plumlee, not Miles Plumlee. Mason Plumlee and a second-round pick from Portland to Denver for Jusuf Nurkić and a first-round pick. Mm. Then we also had Serge Ibaka for Terrence Ross and a first. So that was a – Serge Ibaka is now going to Toronto. If you don't know that, you have – I don't know where you've been.
any trade news that's semi-big is circulating.
Are you one of those guys that turns on the notifications from Woj, like the tweet notifications?
I have about 8 notifications on.
I do too. I keep them all on just because you just want to know. Like, you just want to know right away.
Especially during this season. I'll turn a few more on, and then after the deadline, I'll turn half of them off and then keep.
And then once the season ends, though, you turn them back on because you have like the summer stuff. You know, like the free agency rumors and stuff like that. Like, that's all.
I keep some of them on all year round, and I just suck it up for the stupid tweets. But I just wait for the
I have Mavericks ones on just in case something happens with Mavericks.
Yeah.
And then like during games, it'll be like, you're like, ugh.
Let me turn this off right now. I'm at the game.
I see that highlight. I was there for that highlight. I witnessed it. But those trades, I just think it's fascinating when you look at those two trades to try to match up the market value of those two trades. Because you look at, okay, so it's a big, it's a big for a big in one of them, and then it's a big for, you know, a wing in one, and then draft picks in all of them. So you're like, trying to make it an algebraic equation where it's like, okay, if Ibaka is worth Terrence Ross in a first and Plumlee in a second is worth Nurkić in a first, like, what does that mean for their value? And sometimes I think it's just, that's what Orlando had to do to be able to get something for Ibaka.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't think that they could let Ibaka just walk like that and lose. They lost Oladipo, who was a second overall pick for them. That's a huge asset that they gave up for him. Sabonis also is the 11th pick. And then Ilyasova, I think they gave to him too. And, I mean, that's – you can't just give that up.
But, like, here's my thing. People – I've seen the same tweet circulating Twitter a lot. Yeah, he turned
Victor Oladipo over. And Oladipo and Tobias Harris and Terrence, you know, blah, blah.
Exactly. And here's my thing.
I tweeted that.
Is it a bad outcome? Yes. But if you're Rob Hennigan, GM for the Magic,
you're going to get fired.
You don't. Well, yeah, he's going to get fired. But you don't blame him for taking risks. Because there's a point in me, too, that, okay, Tobias Harris sucks. And
no, Tobias Harris doesn't suck.
What does he do? He doesn't do anything.
He doesn't do one thing well, but he does a lot of things pretty good. Like, he's an average basketball player. Tobias Harris is the Andy Dalton of basketball players.
Okay,
he's like literally right in the middle, where it's like there are worse players than Tobias Harris. There's a lot better than Tobias Harris.
Yes, but Milwaukee had him like when he first came in the league. When growing up, they traded him for 4 months of, or not even 4 months. They traded him for JJ Redick, who they shipped out like super quick to Los Angeles.
It was like 2 months of JJ Redick or something.
And then he gets to Orlando, and then Orlando ships him off for like basically nothing. And I'm like, are we sure Tobias Harris is good? And so anyway, I'm not on board with that. Oladipo, different story. Good player.
Yeah.
But my whole point with this is,
hasn't been in a good situation.
Was it working before? Like, you had Oladipo, you had Ilyasova, whatever you want to, you know, talk about Ilyasova. You had Tobias Harris. Was it working before? Like, can you blame it? It's not like you were fourth or fifth in the East. It's not like you were even the Atlantic Hawks type that Like, you weren't contending, but you were making the playoffs. They weren't even that. So, like, I don't blame him for taking risk and saying, hey, let's, you know, trade for Ibaka, or let's ship Tobias off for nothing and clear up cap space, because they, you know, they went after Paul Millsap over the summer.
Yeah.
And to varying reports, they had a good shot at getting him. They offered him big-time money, but Atlanta matched. And so it's like one of those things of, okay, you sit in mediocrity. He made risk. And
Orlando wishes they were sitting in mediocrity. Sitting in mediocrity would be...
You sat in the tank.
Yeah.
No, but, and yeah, so now, I mean...
But
I don't like Ibaka as much, though. Like, I'm not...
Yeah, Ibaka at best is the third best player on a championship team,
probably.
He's
so old for his age. His game is so old right now for him. Like, listen to...
Which is weird, because he is the prototypical... stretch five. He shoots threes and he can protect the rim.
But okay, you know? So listen to...
It's just weird that it's...
If you listen to the True Hoop podcast with Ryan Windhorst...
Sometimes I get... McMahon, they do weird stuff and I can't stand it.
Super...
Sometimes.
And weird noises. Like,
okay, whoever is producing that show, what's up with the weird transitions?
Yes.
Why? And then like the weird like drops. Like, okay, I have drops. Like, okay. I can do those, you know, it's like whenever. But
let's go.
I think they do it afterwards.
It's so weird.
You know, like, I think they edit them in after.
And their intro is from, like, I don't know, it sounds like I'm in Westworld, or it's just weird.
And it's really long. And
yeah, it's just weird. But anyway, they went hardcore into the Ibaka hate more than I
They don't like Ibaka.
Oh, you know, like, the first thing that one of them said, it could have even been McMahon. He said, am I supposed to be excited that they got Ibaka? Like, he is, and he was talking about how, like, him going against Dirk the other night, you couldn't even tell who was older. And, I mean, they just went in on Ibaka.
Well,
I agree.
Yeah.
Some, he's not who he was at OKC, but does make Toronto better.
In his defense, and I just talked to Taman about this, that for Orlando to be the happiest place on earth, it was not in a basketball sense. Like, Serge Ibaka was not happy in Orlando, I don't think.
No.
And he was just miserable in that game against Dallas. And that's the only time I've seen him in person, obviously, this year. But he, that whole team just looked miserable, and they weren't playing well together, and they just don't fit. Like, there's just not a fit. Like,
they have so
Ibaka and Vucevic. You're like, I guess that could fit. Vucevic could hit jumpers, but like,
yeah,
what are we trying to do here?
I question moves like Biombo more than I do like their trades. Like, why give Biombo so much money when you have Vucevic? You just traded for Ibaka.
Yeah.
You have Aaron Gordon, which Aaron Gordon is perfect for this new stretch four and like athletic game that the NBA is going to, and now they try to make him a three. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, Frank Vogel came in and said that Aaron Gordon reminds him of Paul George, and everyone was like, maybe not.
Vogel.
Yeah, but I don't know what Orlando's doing. So for the Mavericks, though, you look at the market value, as I talked about. You look at the market value, and you're like, okay, so we have these pieces, and I don't know about your guys' mentions, but our mentions are full of Deron Williams and Andrew Bogut trade possibilities.
Mm. Yep.
I tweeted out today about the Drummond thing. I said, it's, you know, reports been floating around that Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond have been made available by the Pistons. Should the Mavericks be interested in either of those players? And people were like, yes, send Bogut and Deron Williams and a first for Andre Drummond. And I'm like, yeah, that works out in the trade machine.
Oh.
But, like, they're either way undervaluing Deron Williams and Bogut or way overvaluing them. We're like, oh, we could get Drummond for just Bogut.
Yeah.
You're like,
there's nothing,
probably not.
There's nothing that frustrates me right now more than Mavs fans acting like D. Will and Bogut can be traded for, like, a star.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like, you all are stuck.
Let's take Bogut and Williams, and we'll get LeBron James.
Yes. Why is Donnie not doing this?
We'll get Damian Lillard.
Like, stupid Cuban, he can't do that. I'm like, what? No, like, we can't even, can we get a second rounder for Bogut right now? Like, I mean, I don't know.
Really? You think it's that low?
Oh, man, I think it's low. And this
he hasn't seen the court.
This next week is going to be huge, and I think he's playing at this moment. Pretty sure.
He's at least available tonight, and Carlisle said he's going to play, so we're assuming that he had played, so we don't know what he looks like. But
it's just weird. I mean, one of the things that I threw out to our staff in talking to some people in the preseason, I'm like, I want to see how many, going into the season, when the Mavericks had Dirk is our four, Bogut's our five, this is our starting unit, I was like, hey, I want to see actually how many minutes they're going to play together this year. And
you've been right.
Because I was thinking, I was like, Who are they going to be able to guard? Like, love Dirk to death, but he can't guard fours.
Yeah, like when you
league.
Play the Clippers, who's going to guard DeAndre Jordan and who's going to guard Blake Griffin?
Yeah, and gosh. I mean, but most of these teams out here, and where it was highlighted for me when we played Phoenix in the preseason, they had Marquese Chriss at the four.
Oh, yeah.
It was a disaster.
Marquese Chriss, super athletic and bouncy.
They made him look like Kevin Garnett out there.
What's the opposite of bouncy? That's what Bogut and Dirk Nowitzki are the opposite of that word.
Boris Diaw? Is that the opposite of bouncy? No, but anyway, yeah.
Shout out to Boris.
Oh, Boris. But yeah, the trade market could be a very disappointing one for Mavs fans.
So it's halftime. Okay.
No, dude.
You're not ready for this.
I'm not ready for this.
Okay, everybody listening knows how the game ended up, and hopefully they won, but the Mavericks are down 62-35.
At halftime?
At halftime. The Mavericks have scored 35 points. Bogut has played 8 minutes. He scored 4 points, 3 rebounds, a steal, and a block.
Ooh. Solid.
So that's fun. That's fine. That's good. But the 35 points are.
Wow.
Thanks.
Well, I'm glad I'm not in that locker room
tonight. Gosh. A game like. What was the game the Mavericks almost didn't score 70 points? Was it? I think it was Milwaukee.
Oh, it was. Yeah. I can't remember what it was. I just remember tweeting out the other night, like, hey guys, remember when the Mavericks could barely get over 60 points?
Yeah.
And they had 61 at half. And we're like, man, what a different Mavs team.
Gosh. Because yeah, there was that game they almost set the record, like franchise low for points in a game.
Oh.
That was just one of the saddest games.
It's so hard to watch.
Just block that out of your mind.
Yeah. But with Bogut, to go back to Bogut. I do think there is value.
Someone will take him.
Yes, as long as to be their starting center, I don't know.
Probably not.
But you look at a team like Boston,
that's been the name the entire season.
The entire season. And Boston, Portland. And
yeah.
But you look at the team for Boston, you have to go through to meet up with Cleveland. You're most likely gonna face Toronto or Washington in the second round. And when you look at that, you know, Valanciunas kills them.
Valanciunas, but that's right.
Okay. Well, is it Valanciunas?
Yeah.
Okay. Jonas? Can we call him Jonas?
Jonas.
JV?
Joni. JV.
So he kills them.
J Valanciunas.
They just need a big body to throw in there like Bogut to face.
To give him a different look.
Yeah, to face the big anchors that.
Yeah, you don't have to convince me that the Celtics need Bogut.
Okay, so I have three trades.
Okay.
That I want to throw at you.
With only Bogut or with just
a couple different pieces? So what if...
Also, I'll throw this one out first.
Okay.
So we had Dave Dufour of Real GM and the B-Ball Breakdown. And B-Ball Breakdown did this whole... I think it was Real GM. They did this whole thing where they just mock sort of off-season with 30 writers, and everybody gets a team. And Dave had... the Heat, and he gave him Hassan Whiteside for Justin Anderson just because he wanted to get rid of him. And I was like, I will take that trade.
Oh my gosh.
I will take that trade.
Man, Mavs fans, I don't know. Mavs fans, that they get so heartbroken if a free agent ditches them. And
yeah.
Like when the Clippers, I guess it was last year, was the DeAndre thing last summer?
No, the season before.
Okay.
The offseason of 2015, I think.
Yeah, and when the Clippers were kind of struggling
Emoji
a little
Gate.
Bit. And Emoji Gate, yeah. And people were kind of like, will the Clippers blow it up and stuff? And I kind of just pitched it out there a little bit. I'm like, okay, what if the Clippers decide to just build around Blake and they just sign DeAndre? What if they just, you know, they decide to ship him somewhere? And I'm like, the amount of Mavs fans is like, no, I don't ever want him. I hate him and all this stuff. I'm like, I'll take him right now. I don't care one bit. Like,
yeah,
he screwed us over.
It's funny because Mavs fans want Drummond, but they don't want DeAndre Jordan. When DeAndre Jordan is a way better version of what Drummond should be.
Let's have a free throw shooting contest between Drummond.
Yeah, right. DeAndre. Or let's have a shot blocking contest, and DeAndre Jordan would destroy Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
All right, so give me your trades.
Okay, so.
I'll tell you how awful they are.
Yeah, you tell me who says no.
Okay.
Let's say... they call up Boston and say, okay, we'll give you Bogut. We'll give you a trade centered around Bogut and Devin Harris for Tyler Zeller and Terry Rozier.
Tyler Zeller coming back to Dallas.
Yeah.
Well, Dallas originally drafted him.
I guess he never suited up.
He never really suited up. But
Tyler Zeller does not play for them. It would be more of a salary matcher thing. Zeller, Rozier for Bogut and Devin Harris.
See, I heard a report that Boston didn't do the Ibaka trade because they didn't want to give up Rozier.
But a first was with Rozier. So I heard the same thing. But my thing with that is, okay, they didn't want to give up Rozier, but Was it because it was a combination of the two?
Like, yeah, they didn't want to give up both. Like,
yeah.
If we could do one or the other, maybe they would have done it.
Yeah, but. And I heard it was, okay, Rozier, we didn't want to, you know, part with Rozier. But let's be real. If it was a decent package, like, and they don't have a, I was listening to Bill Simmons. He was talking about, he was talking with the Boston play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
On his latest pod, you know, whatever, yesterday, today. And they were talking about, like, hey, he mentioned they don't really have a Evan Turner guy that would
come off the bench now.
So what I was saying with this trade is, you know, if they send Bogut, they get their big body, then they send Devin Harris, which has looked pretty good lately.
Yeah.
Decent.
And he's still good defensively too.
Yeah, bring him off the bench.
He's not a minus defensively.
And so you kind of flop both of those. And for Dallas, you know, whatever you think of Tyler Zeller, I don't really care. But then you get a shot at Terry Rozier. I kind of like him a little bit, but I don't know.
Oof, because you have Terry Rozier, then you have Rozier, you have Yogi, you have Curry, you have Darren.
I would rather have them than our nursing home. You know, like, then.
That's true. So next year you're trotting out Rozier and Yogi for the starting point guard spot.
Or.
And maybe you're bringing Seth off the bench.
No, it's going to be Frank Nicolina.
Oh, yeah, somebody mentioned him to me.
Bro, man.
This rookie guy.
Everything I've read and heard, Mavericks people just love him. And when you see any Mavericks or any draft scouting things,
yeah,
whether it's ESPN, Draft Express, they're like, hey, Dallas has some of the best international scouting in the business. I don't know if they're just saying that because of Dirk.
Yeah.
But when it comes to that, and Frank's one of these dudes, if you don't know, he's a French point guard, 6'6". Watch some tape on him. I actually really do like him. I think he's more than Roddy B. Some people try to say he's the next Roddy B. I'm like, no, please don't.
I saw a guy, so I do this, the AAC jersey watch before every game for Mavs Fanatic, and there's a guy with the Roddy B jersey.
Roddy B?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think it was the last Orlando.
Classic Roddy B. but anyway, Frank's one of these dudes that they could literally get if they landed ninth or if they landed fourth. And it literally could, I mean, it's one of those things. But
unless he ends up like Porzingis, where his draft stock keeps like rising and rising.
Yeah, he could, but there's just so many point guards, and over this past month.
Yeah,
I've
eventually you're gonna run out of teams that need point guards.
Yeah. So anyway, I think the writing's been on the wall for D-Will. It's one of these situations where, is there a scenario in which D-Will would be back next year? We have Barea.
The thing is, I don't know where he goes after this. Like, where does he sign? If he stays the rest of the season with the Mavericks and then gets the offseason, where is he going to sign?
But do you bring him back? Let's say the Mavericks.
Here's a spot that he might sign. What if Utah decides that they're done with Exum? What if they're like, I don't think Exum's going to make it?
I think his starting days are over, though.
Right. So, no, they bring him back to come off the bench.
They
clear up all the stuff that happened before. They fix that relationship. And
yeah, they
he
could.
He comes back off the bench. For
I
Hill.
Could see it.
I don't think he wants to come off the bench.
We'll do
though.
It now. But you look at going into next year. Brea's under contract. He's going to come off the bench.
Oh, Brea, too.
Devin Harris has a non-guaranteed next year. So we could cut ties with him for nothing and lose him.
I don't think the Mavs would do that,
though. I don't think so either. I think they'll probably pick it up. Maybe. We don't know. Yogi has a team option. They're picking that
That's
up.
That's picking up.
So you're most definitely having Yogi and JJ. Then factor in, let's say, you know, there is five point guards. I'm pretty sure it's five. You got Fultz, Ball, Dennis Smith, Frank, however you say his last name, De'Aaron Fox. You got five.
And Monk, whatever you think about Monk.
Monk's one of the best scorers I've seen.
Some people think that he's
One sentence opinion for me. He's one of the best scorers we've seen. Heat check guys since Steph Curry in college. But he's like a Monte Ellis, J.R. Smith. What does he play? He's 6'3".
The tweener kind
is
of
he,
guy.
Yeah, is he big enough to play two guard? He doesn't handle the ball, but we don't know how he can handle it because Fox plays point.
Yeah, and everybody thought that about Steph, too. They were like, can Steph be a point guard? You know, that was the whole thing about
Can
him.
He do that? But let's just say Dallas lands a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
They take one of those guys, whether it's Fox, French dude, whatever. So then they have the new rookie, Yogi, and JJ. That's already a three. Then
yeah,
we're not
that's
even
already.
Factor in, let's say they pick up Devin, and Devin's been playing two guard two some, and you still
he's the two now.
Still got Seth at two guard. You still got
Wes at two.
Wes at two, but he's been playing three. So you're already loaded. Where does D-Will come in? Like, if you're D-Will, you're already going to have to take a pay cut. And then.
Yeah, which he didn't really have to this offseason, which was kind of surprising that $9 million.
I mean, and he was kind of upset about it. If you remember,
really?
Like, when he came in, like, one of the first questions they talked about it, he's like, well, I was wanting something long term, but, you know, this is kind of what we settled on.
I thought you were saying the money. Like,
oh, no.
I would be like,
No, he was just wanting something long term because, you know, he's from here and he's opened up an MMA gym here in Dallas.
Like, has he really?
Yeah, he
has. I knew that. Where is it?
I don't know where it's at, but I know. I'm
going to Google it.
Scott Thomas and us were talking about it the other day. But anyway, I just feel like the writing has been on the wall for a while that the chances of D-Will coming back, unless they trade off somebody like JJ or whatever it is, but I don't know.
I feel like Devin and JJ are in for the long haul. Like, they're going to retire as Mavericks, you know?
And they're good. They're good. You want me to throw my second scenario at you?
Yeah, because that one could work. I think that one would work. I don't know if Boston does it with the Rozier thing.
So Portland, for some reason, I'm sure you've seen the same thing. They want to get off the Azili contract.
Yeah, they definitely do.
Which is kind of weird to me because
Has he played a game for them?
No, not a single game. But they can cut ties with him. Next year is non-guaranteed. He has the same thing as, like, Devin.
Yeah.
So they can cut ties with him in the summer, but I don't know. They just really want to get off his contract right now. So Bogut to Portland for Azili and Vonleh. Do you require a first? Does Portland have to give up, since they have three picks in next year's draft, does Portland have to give up the lowest of those first rounders for us to take on Azili and Vonleh? And then
they've been starting Vonleh, though. I still think they think he can be
well,
good.
Well, that was just a salary cap filler. They don't have anybody else at the end of the roster. You could do Ed Davis if you ship Dwight Powell off somewhere, but don't get me started on Dwight Powell because that's a whole different ballgame.
Why is that?
I'm not a Dwight Powell fan.
Really?
No.
I think he's fine. If he's your fourth big,
he does nothing well. And that,
he's athletic. That's a thing.
That's great, but he can't.
Athletic is good. I mean, you need to be athletic. He can.
I'm glad you look like a deer, but you're gonna turn into Bambi. All right. And I don't.
Wow. Whoa. Bambi's mom died. Okay. Don't talk about Bambi's mom. No, like, he's been pretty good on defense, like one-on-one defense this year. He's been pretty good on help defense.
For 10 million a year. Like, I feel like we envision him to be like a Fareed, and Fareed's not even like greatness, but
if you want a player to be a player that's not that good.
He bricks outside shots. For some reason he still thinks he can hit threes.
His jumper looks good though.
It looks better than last year. Last year was horrendous.
Yeah, it was bad.
It looks better, but it's still not.
He was shooting like 18% from three last year.
Yeah, and anyway, but whatever with that. So pretty much, would Portland put a first with Azili?
They got three of them.
To take the lowest of their first to take, you know, and would Dallas take on Azili's contract to get another first in the next year's draft?
Yeah, sure.
You can cut ties with him in the summer.
Yeah,
or
I don't know.
You can keep him. I mean,
just getting rid of Azili is enough for Portland to be like, okay, we're going to give an asset up just to get rid of Azili.
Yeah.
But maybe they want to get rid of him that bad.
But you hear some weird, I don't know if you've heard some of the weird locker room stuff with him. Like, he hasn't played all year.
Yeah.
But I've heard, like, there was one instance he gave, like, a locker room speech to the team about effort and all this stuff whenever he's not even playing. And CJ McCollum, like, interrupted him and said, basically, bro, you're not even playing. Like, you're not even out here fighting with us.
CJ McCollum's, like, a nice guy.
Yeah, and, like, shut up. Like, sit down. And so I don't know if that plays into it, but I don't know. But that's my second one.
Okay.
My third one's kind of a bigger one, and I came up with it today.
Ooh.
I'm kind of proud of it. It all stems with Utah. So Utah is going to run into a pretty good-sized money crunch.
Yeah, definitely.
Coming this summer. They're going to have to max out Gordon Hayward.
Yep.
Which they're going
to. Unless Boston will.
They'll max him out. They'll give him the full max.
The 6-year?
Yeah. I think they will.
Man.
And, I mean, he's our all-star.
Yeah.
And he's still young. And so you got Gobert that just signed a massive extension.
Yeah.
Rodney Hood's going to be coming up for an extension. Pretty sure this fall before the extension deadline in October or whatever.
Extension, yeah.
Do they re-sign George Hill this summer? They like him. So
yeah, no, they've re-signed him.
Okay. So then you got that. Alex Burks is still on a, you know, like 2 or 3 year deal. I mean, they can unload him, whatever. But my point is, you look at Derek Favors.
Yeah.
He's been brought up to some, you know, whatever rumors. So here's my trade. To clear up money and to stay competitive for Utah, they send Derek Favors to Chicago.
Okay.
They take back Taj Gibson.
Okay.
A first round pick from Chicago. And Bogut.
Oof.
Bogut backs up Gobert. He's on expiring. They lose his contract at the end of the year. Taj Gibson, exact same situation. Expiring. Contract comes off the bench. but yeah, he can fill in. I feel like he can give a decent amount of what Favors gives him. Keeps them competitive at least.
What's in it for Utah?
They do run Joe Johnson at four a lot in the small ball.
And Boris.
And they get you say what's in it for Utah?
Yeah. Just getting out from under all that salary.
Well, you get out of Favors' salary to keep your core intact of Hayward, Gobert, Rodney Hood, and you get the first round pick from Chicago, which could be in this next year's draft 15, 20, something like that, maybe 10 to 15. And you still remain competitive in the playoffs with Taj Gibson and Bogut.
And what does Dallas get?
So Chicago obviously gives up Taj, first-rounder, gets Favors. Dallas gets one of their three young guys, either McDermott, Denzel Valentine, or Bobby Portis, one of them.
Ooh. So
Chicago has to give up.
I don't even know if I want any of those guys.
But for Bogut? Bogut's not going to get us anywhere. I would much rather take, any of those three, give me one of those for Andrew Bogut, because that's your trade-off in that point.
Yeah, at least you're getting something for him.
Yeah.
But
I mean, there's an argument that if you're Utah, if you think about it, if you're Utah, they could just make this trade straight with Chicago and I would rather take Bobby Portis or whatever instead of Bogut. But if they're like, okay, no, I really want a backup rim protector to Gobert, I would rather have Bogut and ship us whatever. But, I would love to turn Andrew Bogut into McDermott, Valentine, or Bobby Portis. One of those.
Yeah. As long as Hoiberg's there, I don't think it's going to be McDermott.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they have that connection. I don't think he's going anywhere.
That's true. But
Valentine, I think what Valentine would be remembered for is the three clutch shots in the summer league game.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's going to be it. I don't think he's going to.
Valentine's one of these guys. I have this running list on my computer that obviously, we said this is our first year.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of these guys, opposing teams, first time in person.
Yeah.
And I have this list of bigger in person, smaller in person, crazy, athletic, unreal body frames.
Yeah, right.
That's just blowing me away. And Valentine's one of the only guys in the smaller one. He's a lot smaller than I ever thought.
I said the exact same thing because I went to Summer League this year.
Yeah.
And so I went to Summer League, I came back, and the one thing I took away was I thought Denzel Valentine was 6'7".
Yeah.
For some reason I thought Denzel Valentine was could be a three or a four. But no, he's probably 6'3", 6'4". He's not much taller than me.
No, he's a legit two guard. I thought he was three stretch four type. And
right.
No,
not even close. Not going to happen.
No.
That is that ship has sailed. So I don't know what's going on. I mean, what do they think he's going to be?
I don't know. And the Bulls is just a whole different conversation.
The Bulls in Orlando are
But to be able to turn Taj, one of those three young guys, and a first-rounder into Favors, they might like it. I texted one of a good friend that used to work for our site back last year, and he grew up in Chicago, diehard Bulls fan.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you think about this? And he said, I would love to get Favors for that. And so I was like, okay, not that bad of a deal. But you're in the camp. I wanted to bring this up to you because I read one of your things this past week. You're in the camp that says, hey, we should keep D-Will and Bogut. We're like, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Okay, so this is the article I wrote this week for Mavs Fanatic. I took a look at it and I laid out all of the Mavericks trades from the time they won the championship to the end. To now.
Yeah, I read this. It was kind of depressing, but
it was very depressing. That was most of the comments on Reddit were this is so depressing. Why did I read this? I'm like, thank you for reading it anyway. But the Mavericks have had 15 trades.
Oh.
Two of them you could look at and be like, those are net positives for the Mavericks. Most of them you look at them and be like, the Mavericks didn't get anything for those. Like all those assets ended up being zero sum value. You have a trade that's like, okay, you get a second round pick, but it's top 55 protected. You're like, okay, what am I getting with that?
It's not even a pick.
Every once in a while, I'll get an Isaiah Thomas, but I'm, that's once every 10 years.
And half the second round picks nowadays are just foreign stash players.
Yeah, and you never see them at all. Or they end up being AJ Hammonds.
I thought you were going to bring up Satnam.
Oh, Satnam or Simbalar.
The future, Satnam.
So you look at all those and if I'm a Mavericks fan, I don't want them to make a trade because I don't know if I trust the front office to get value or assets back that are going to actually, have value. Sure, they'll get – if they could get firsts for any of those guys, yeah.
Ship has sailed.
Go ahead and do it. But like you said, I don't think they're going to be able to do that.
Quit drinking the Kool-Aid, guys. And you are not getting a first-round pick for D. Will or
all these people in our mentions saying Andre Drummond for Bogut and Deron Williams. I'm like, no.
No. Get out of here.
I don't think so.
It's funny because you were in the locker room the other night when I asked D-Will, and I said, you know, Darren, there were some reports that there might be some other teams interested in you before the deadline. You know, what does your mindset be with that? And do you expect to be a
you
Maverick?
You said it a lot better than that.
Do you expect to be do you expect to be a Maverick the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't answer my second question.
No, you gave him the option.
I did. And but he kind of just like kind of stared at me and kind of just peered into my soul, kind of rickish, and said, you know, hey, I don't pay attention to that stuff, and most of the stuff y'all write nowadays is BS. And he looks at me and says, you got your sources anyway. I'm like, what? Okay.
Yeah, and you came over to me and you're like, I wish I had sources.
No, I'm like, I wish I had my sources. Chris Broussard has sources.
Oh, Chris Broussard.
But anyway.
We got this guy on the Seeing Stars podcast named Nathan. He's always coming up with these fake news stories that are like, oh, Andrew Bogut got traded already to the Celtics. And
oh
you're like,
gosh.
All right, Nathan Broussard going at it again.
Sources tell me.
Sources say.
But no, I don't know. But here's my thing. If you can get anything back, because I'm on the boat of saying there's no way D Will comes back next year. And
yeah, I think he does, but
and with Bogut, I mean, when that whole stuff came out when he talked to the Australian radio
thing, how about that?
And then we drilled him the next day. Well I say we, but Tim McMahon drilled him the next day. We media. And you know, he pretty much admitted it. You know, Bogut's one of the interesting dudes in the NBA because
so funny.
I mean, he will tell it like it is. He don't give a crap about anything, political, whatever it is. He's just he is him. And he pretty much said, I'm like, hey, you know, I don't think I'm going to be back next year, you know, because of, you know, they're moving him to the bench. And, you know, he was ready. I mean, he was, you know, hey, understanding that, you know, business. He said, I'm not going to management. He literally said, I'm not going to management and begging for me not to be traded. But he said, I don't want to be traded because of personal reasons. He kept on saying that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm in this boat of you got two veterans. I don't think either one of them is back next year. And barring a trade of like J.J. Barea or something like that. And anything. Give me a second rounder. Give me a young – that's when I look at players like Terry Rozier. Like he comes off the bench. He's behind Smart, Bradley, IT. Like give me a player. Give me a guy from, you know, Chicago, Valentine, or McDermott. Give me something that we don't know if they're good, but at least
you're at least taking a chance on somebody.
Yeah, instead of saying sayonara, you know, in the summer, good, you know, good having you in the locker room. But I don't know. When we don't – the Mavs will be – untouchables? Who's your untouchables at the deadline for the Mavericks? That
Barnes.
If somebody calls, they're hang up the phone.
No one's untouchable because if somebody offers you Durant or LeBron or Giannis, you know, like
Dirk's untouchable.
Yes, Dirk is untouchable.
He's untouchable.
That is untouchable. That's it.
But we say untouchable using untouchable, like, okay, none of the big names, none of the names that you think would be traded is going to be traded.
But I think they listened to offers for Harrison Barnes or Wes Matthews.
Do.
Sure.
Man, the way. I'm not gonna act like I have sources because I don't, and I'm not gonna say.
But we're around the team a lot, so we see
we talk to a lot of people in the organization and everything too. And the way they talk about Harrison Barnes, they have already put in place the transition of Dirk to Barnes, and they fully on board of conversations with just them of like, hey, we're so happy. Like, just full quotes of, we are so happy that this transition to Barnes is going to take place. He is such a professional. He is, like, all set. Like, just the mindset that this is going to Barnes. And
do you think that's,
whatever you think with that, of it should or whatever, I don't think that they would give. I mean, obviously, if Greek Freak came up, you know, or LeBron, you know, whatever. But I think a Jimmy Butler, I don't know if they would. And
whole Dirk to Barnes thing is, remember the last time that you didn't eat for a while, whether you skipped one meal or you fasted a day or something?
Yeah.
And the very next thing that you eat is like the best thing you've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, like you can just, all the tastes in it, you can just feel, and you're like you take a bite of a sandwich and you're just like, oh my gosh.
This is the best thing I've ever eaten.
This is the best sandwich I've ever eaten. This is the best Chipotle burrito ever. I can feel all the different layers in it. That is what the Harrison Barnes Dirk Nowitzki thing is, because it's been Dirk for so long. They've been looking for a replacement for Dirk since 2011, probably.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Harrison Barnes comes along, and he's pretty good. 20 points a game. He can, you know, he can score. He's, you know, he's young. He's a piece. He can defend. And all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing. This is the best player we've ever had. Like, and they just start trying to turn him into, you know, trying to hand the reins off to him. So I don't know if he's, I mean, sure, the organization could feel that way about him.
Yeah.
I still think they would listen to trade offers if, you know.
See, I view him as an untouchable. So
and he's not going to move. I mean, they're not going to. But they would listen to trade offers if someone, if like Sacramento called for Boogie.
I don't think so. I just don't. I think Dallas views,
like, Donnie Nelson's not hanging up the phone if Vlade's like, hey, yo take.
Yeah, and he's like, what you think? I want Bones back, you know. And I think Donnie's probably asking him, you know, hey, what's the best steakhouse in Sacramento? But that's like the only thing they're going to talk about. I just think Dallas.
What kind of steak you want?
With Rick and his.
You want lion steak?
Do you want lion steak or you like Boogie steak?
Or gazelle steak?
But I just think they value Dallas is so much of a system leadership. You have Carlisle. They love just, I don't know. There's just no room for nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they had Deshaun Stevenson. That's, you know, a little different, but, but there's just none of that. And I'm not saying I would love to get Boogie. I would love to get Boogie. I'm just saying from the perspective, I'm not for sure that they would say, yes, we'll give you Harrison Barnes.
Especially after the Rondo thing. I don't think they'd do that. The Rondo thing, I think, really scared them into, we are only going to have, like, really professional, like, good guys.
Yeah.
And they have. I mean, that locker room is full of, I mean, there's not one guy, I look in that locker room, I'm like, that guy's kind of a head case, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, the most is probably Wes Matthews, and that's just because he's emotional, like,
so,
you know, like,
that was my next question, like, what about Wes?
I think they'd listen to stuff about Wes. I mean, they'd listen. I don't think they're going to give him up for anything.
I
think even Mark Cuban even commented on that recently.
So Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN was on Low Post podcast.
Yeah.
I want to say about a month ago, and he told Zach, you know, Zach Lowe, and he said, hey, I've heard out of Dallas that they're listening to offers for Wes Matthews.
Oh yeah.
So a lot of people tweeted that out. I tweeted that out. And that's when Cuban was asked about it.
Which, if anybody doesn't know, that teams are always listening to stuff.
Listening.
And a lot of times...
there's a difference between listening and shopping.
Yeah, yeah. That's very different. When I went to Summer League, I participated in the sports business classroom. We had a lot of like GMs come through. Like Masai Ujiri came in to talk to us. Assistant GMs of the Celtics and the Wizards came and talked at the same time, which was really interesting to see them kind of like interact. They'll just call up somebody and be like, hey, what do you guys think about Harrison Barnes? You know, or like, what do you guys think? Just to try to gauge what the value of what the market is for certain players. So if you hear like rumors about, oh, they're listening to offers to Wes Matthews, it's like they're just trying to see what they could get for him, you know, just to get the market value. Hey, that's part of their job.
They're just listening, and that's just part of it. But I don't think he would get traded. After Wes, I think it gets interesting. I think Seth is gradually moving to that category.
Because he's really close.
I think
he's probably untouchable because of his contract. I mean, that's the best contract in the NBA.
Yeah, but it's only until next year, right? And then after that, they're going to have to pay it.
Yeah,
I think if as long as he continues on the same path, I think they're really intrigued of what that's going to be.
Which I tweeted this out with Mavs Fanatic earlier. I did one of those player comparison stats things. Player one has, you know, 10 points a game and shooting this and blah, blah, blah. And player two is 11 points a game shooting this, and they're like very similar numbers, like pretty much the same all the way through. I'm like, one of those players makes $3 million and one of them make 18. It's like, guess who those players are? One of them was Seth Curry. Do you know who the other one was? He makes $18 million, has the same exact stats as Seth.
Does he start or come off the bench?
He comes off the bench.
Allen Crabbe?
In the West. Yeah, Allen Crabbe.
For real?
Allen Crabbe.
I just said it because I've been looking at Portland's on Trade Machine a lot. Every time I'm like, $18.5 million.
Holy
crap.
That's so much for Allen Crabbe. Like, yeah. And if that's the – I mean, that's an overpay, obviously.
Oh.
But if that's the market, I mean, Seth Curry might be able to get that somewhere else.
When Brooklyn gave him that contract originally, I was like, holy crap, they're stupid. And then Portland came in, I'm like, holy crap, you're more stupid. But
gosh, wouldn't they be better without him?
Think so. I don't even know what you do with that.
This is messed up.
But yeah.
So I mean, Seth is kind of probably becoming a little more untouchable.
Yeah, I think he's in touch. Let me pitch this to you. Mavs Moneyball, some of our friends at SB Nation.
Yeah.
They tweeted out, and I was talking to Austin Garuya, I think, about it the other day. I think that's his last name.
Nice try at the pronunciation.
I forgot.
I don't know.
My pronunciation. I'm country, guys. give me slack.
North Carolina.
You can probably tell it in my accent. But they just pitched out, hey, would you do Seth for Nerlens? What would you do? We talked about it a little bit, but they had an overwhelming answer of the same thing.
Okay. I think they would say no, and I would say no.
Who's they?
I think the Mavs Moneyball people would say no, we're not going to do that trade, and I think I would say
no. They said yes.
Really?
Austin said yes. Tim Cato said yes. And yeah, someone said yes.
What is Nerlens, what has he shown us, really?
See, that was my thing. I would not do it. No. And I'm just not a big Nerlens fan. He's athletic. He can protect the rim.
His rookie year, he was pretty good at defense. Like the 76ers were like an average defensive team when he was on the floor.
He's great at defense.
Yeah.
And, you know, just being...
He's a liability on offense, though.
Yeah, he can't shoot at all, like, bad.
Doesn't really have moves.
No, doesn't really have post moves. He's kind of like a Dwight Howard a little bit. Like, as far as don't have post moves. Like, first year, Blake Griffin had no post moves, but just let me jump over a car. That wasn't.
He didn't really jump over the car either.
No, it was like the hood. It was like the tire.
He's more like DeAndre Jordan, I think.
Yeah. A little bit. Obviously, DeAndre's better, but it's just, I don't know. I would not do it, but I don't know. It was a good discussion, at least.
And he's going to be a free agent this summer, right?
Yeah. Somebody's got to pay him.
Sign him anyway.
How weird is the Okafor situation? He's suiting up tonight.
A lot of people think that people are on our site were Slack messaging us today, and we're like, I think gut feeling, I think Okafor ends up in Dallas. I was like, whoa.
Oh,
no.
God, no.
Please, no.
Oh.
I just, no. I don't think Okafor has, maybe he's just in a bad situation, but what if you try to look at, like, what's a good situation for him? You'd have to have a rim protector next to him.
Well, I think his situation is Dirk. That situation. He can't play four because he can't guard anybody.
No.
He has to go into a situation that's going to play him like Dallas plays Dirk right now. He has to be a center, and you got to stretch it around him. And just
got to be able to shoot, though. He's not. I mean, he's got a jumper, but it's not like Dirk's.
Yeah, but like you can't play him, even if you had a DeAndre next to him. I'm like, you can't. He can't guard any of the fours.
No.
And so it's going to be, I think, whatever role it is, he's going to come off the bench. And
he's going to end up being like Al Jefferson.
They're going to, it's going to like, hey, we're going to try to feature you off the bench and whatever rolls with that.
Anybody else you think is untouchable?
Dallas, I don't think so. I mean, Yogi Mania is a different subject. I really like him. I don't buy the super big hype on Yogi.
Yeah, and if anything, I think best case scenario, I think Yogi could end up being a starter.
I think he's JJ.
Like a solid starter, but yeah, he's probably going to end up being a JJ coming off the bench.
Yeah, spark plug off the
bench. But better defensively.
Yeah, I think if you have the whatever it is of Isaiah Thomas and JJ Barea.
The spectrum, yeah.
Yeah, the spectrum of those two. I think he is leaning slightly towards JJ. I don't think he's. I like Yogi a lot. I'm not Mavs fans. Don't harass me about
coming out of this.
I love Yogi. It's funny because I did
getting his mentions.
I did a piece not to. Can I make a plug about something? I wrote?
Sure, yeah.
So multicultural stuff means a lot to me. My wife's from Brazil, and so anyway, but whatever that even means. But I'm doing a 3-part feature for Black History Month, and my first part of this was with the Dallas Mavericks DJ. And
Poison Ivy, shout out to her.
Poison Ivy, she's awesome. And so she's the first African American woman DJ in NBA history with any franchise. So I did this kind of sat down with her the other night, and we laughed and talked, and we talked about just how she came to be and her story. She was born in Kenya, and how she worked for the Bucks for a little bit and didn't get their job, came to Dallas, and it's just crazy how it's been. And we talked about Black history. We talked about
She started with the Wings this summer. I know that.
Yeah. So she still does the Wings. Skylar Diggins is like.
She's
traveling.
Like her personal DJ. Like,
yo.
I'm like, what does that mean? Hey, I want to know what that means.
Come over at night and turn the tables. And but anyway, we talked about that and just racial division in America and just how we can get better, what we can do together. And I love writing stories outside of the box. I talked about Harrison Barnes and Christian Faith. And so anyway, what made me think of that is the Yogi thing we were talking about. She's like, man, I can't find any good sound bites for Yogi when he scores. She's like, all I play is the Yogi Bear.
Yogi.
Yeah, Yogi. and she hates it, but she can't find anything
kind of
else
annoying,
to play.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have next should be Earl Sneed that we'll be talking next week just about reporting and being an African-American kind of coming up and the progress that has made. And then every sign I've gotten so far, we've exchanged some emails and talked about it. Melvin Hunt will be my last one, the Mavs top assistant, and how we've grown with African-American culture and coaching and just jobs and moving all that. So I don't know. It's something I don't want to plug pieces, but I like
plug that piece. Sounds good. That sounds interesting.
I like plugging things. I want to change lives with what I'm doing. Obviously, we love reporting and love talking trades. We could talk trade all day.
we did for like 40 minutes, I think.
But I want to impact lives with what I do too.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah,
there you go. So where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Isaac Harris at MBA.
And we'll put that in the description for sure.
ISAAC. Obviously, I'm the editor of The Smoking Cuban. Go to smokingcuban.com. But yeah, it's fun.
It was great having you. Got some good trade talk in.
Heck yeah.
I think we got it all out of our system.
We making the playoffs? Yes or no?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Count us in.
We'll definitely make it the
playoffs. We're going to San Francisco, baby, in April.
10-year reunion of the Dallas Mavericks. Warriors.
Hey, they don't have Baron Davis, so we're good.
What if they took him down? That'd be just
history.
There you go. So for Mavs Fanatic, go ahead and follow us into the description. Check out Isaac Harris's stuff on Smoking Cuban. And check out me and Taman's stuff. Keep going to MavsFanatic.com, and we will see you guys later. Thanks so much for joining us.
Peace out!
I've switched a lot of things in my life, but it's never worked out. I switched to being a vegetarian, but ate more bacon than ever. Every time I switch lines at the grocery store, I never pick the fast one. But one thing that totally worked out is I switched to Metro PCS and got a free Samsung Galaxy.
Make the right switch too. Move to Metro PCS and get a free Samsung Galaxy J7 with a huge 5.5-inch screen. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Plus sales tax. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details, terms, and conditions.